from Nashville, Tennessee. This is Keep Asking, the weekly podcast that helps you dive in a bit deeper and wider into the research providing insights into today's church and culture. Hello, I'm here today with my colleague Scott McConnell and our colleague and special guests Mark Dance and Janet Dance to talk about part two on our research for pastor spouses. Welcome back, everybody.
Good to be back.
Hi, thank you.
Just as a quick reminder, this is part two, so you can find part one online. And we want to mention a thank you to our sponsors of this study, the North American Mission Board and Richard Dawkins, MD. And this is a project where we surveyed 722 spouses of pastors, and those are pastors working in a ministerial role, and that is within any Protestant church. All right. Mark, you mentioned in part one that your goal with your work in as director of Lifeway Pastors is to help pastors win at work and home. So how do you see this project in a kind of a big picture? Have you seen that, or do you expect to see what you've learned in this project to help you fulfill that?
Sure. Well, this is very much a breakthrough study. And I love what Lifeway Research does, myth-busting crew, under Scott's leadership, to say, hey, what's going on confidentially? What are you thinking? And now that we've talked to pastors and spouses, I feel like the conversation is much more complete. And it has to be. It has to be complete, because a pastor's ministry will never be stronger than their marriage. And so as we look at the marriage and the home, he's required to win at church and home. He's required to manage his home and manage the church. So the spouse walks into that marriage and into that ministry with the same pressure, at least the same pressure as the pastor. And so they're walking into this together before they have kids, going, we've got to get it right. And everything's on the line. So that's why I think this study is so important, because we do get a real good glimpse of what's going on in the spouse's mind and heart.
One of the ways we asked kind of that concept of winning at home was to find out how many of the spouses feel like they're expected by their congregation to be a model family. And we saw that 8 out of 10 really embraced that and said, that really is the expectation of us. And it kind of reminded me of a lot of the conversations we have about celebrities and sports figures in our country. And, you know, are they a role model? Are they not a role model? And a lot of times those celebrities don't want to be. They don't want the pressure of having to be a role model, even though if they're in the limelight enough, they kind of become one. What goes through your mind as a pastor or as a spouse, as you approach that decision? I mean, why would you want to be in that role?
I think what Kathy Litton spoke about in the Lifeway Research article that came out yesterday, when she talked about the importance of a calling, even if the spouse is not actively working or being paid in the ministry, this is my opinion. I don't have a scripture to back this up, but I just see that sense of calling is so valuable, because when things do get bumpy, as they will, if they don't have that foundation to fall back on, I think that would be going in. When I was a preacher's kid and I said I would never marry a preacher. And when I was in college, God got a hold of me and said, you know, I'm the one making the plans here. So for me, it was a calling. And it wasn't that I thought, oh, gee, I think it'll be cool to marry a preacher. You know, I knew what I was getting myself into. And so when things have been rough, I know that this is what God has called both of us. And then also, when we have been called to change ministries, Mark has never acted unless we both felt that God was calling us to that specific ministry. And used to kind of make me mad, but Mark would always pray, God, tell Janet first. I never really liked that because I kind of put the pressure on me. But I think that's crucial that the couple not move forward until both of them are in agreement that this is what God has for them.
That's funny. We were with some reporters this weekend sharing this data, and one of them asked, "Does the pastor have a shorter line to God than the spouse?" And the spouses, the minister spouses we had in the room spoke up pretty quickly and said no, and they gave the same testimony you just gave, saying, "No, we're not going to move forward unless we're both hearing something from God." That's not the way God works.
Now, I want to throw this out there and get your thoughts on this sense of calling, because as I think of some examples of church planter wives, getting more specific about, or church planter spouses, and some of my friends who are married to church planters, and the spectrum of the roles they fill, and, some of them, they take a leadership role with the other pastor spouses, whether it's in or teaching in the children's ministry, or, they just love leading and helping and being in the mix of everything. And then one of the most beautiful examples I heard was when someone asked a friend of mine who's a church planter's wife, and they said, "What's your role in the church?" And her answer was, "I keep Jeremy's shirts ironed." Now, they also have a whole passel of kids, and she has a home. But I loved her freedom in saying, And knowing she felt apart, but it was, she felt no need to try and paint a bigger picture of her role in leading the church. So how, if someone finds themselves somewhere on that spectrum, how do you help them kind of find direction about calling and being a part of that when it can be a very varied role?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is going to vary from their life stage, to their location, to the specific type of ministry that the spouse is doing. I mean, that just has to be so personal. One thing that Mark would always do when we would go to a new ministry is tell the congregation that Janet is going to do what God is calling her specifically to do in this ministry. And knowing that he had my back on that too was great. And so that changed different places. One, when you're a church planter, man, you have to do practically everything. We've been in different ministries, and the larger the church, the less I was needed at church doing specific ministries, but the more I was needed at home. And so home and having that place where Mark could come home and there be order and peace, and I'm not expecting him to do, half of the chores around the house. And that became more important the larger the ministry. But when we first started, I was children's director, and, you name it, I did it. And so that just varies, and that's very personal, and a very personal calling.
Great. What, back to just kind of some broad things, was there anything in the research results that gave either of you some clarity or changed your opinion on something, kind of specifically impacted your next steps in the ministry you're engaged in now?
Sure. Well, speaking of church planters, the seminary we're at, almost half of the Canadian seminary students are church planters. And Janet and I were church planters for 10 years. But wherever we're almost every other week we're with a different group of ministry spouses. So this is very important research for us. And we used it yesterday. We use it today in just a few minutes when I speak at chapel. But the thing that probably impacted me and surprised me the most, one, I was so relieved to find out how satisfied most of them were in their ministry role. And also how satisfied they were in their marriages. You know, it's almost like I could exhale because I knew what the pastors thought from 2 years ago.
Right.
They thought everything was awesome. You know,
like,
you know, they just rated their spouse for their spouse, you know, the highest degree of satisfaction with their marriage and ministry. And so it was pretty close in their response to this. And the whole fishbowl thing that Scott mentioned earlier, and you guys are great about asking, you know, the same question in different ways to try to get to the heart of, you know, the model family, fishbowl, privacy, tug of war. So these are things that they know are there. They acknowledge these challenges, but they're not afraid of them. You know, these ministry spouses aren't wimps. They are warriors, and they sometimes struggle with resentment about the demands of ministry. Sometimes, you know, they think the church puts or their spouse puts their needs of the church before them. Some of them do, and those are warning signs, but there's no panic here. They have a strong sense of call, and they are in, you know? They're not quitters. So I'm encouraged by it.
Right.
One of the elephants in the room when we talk to ministry families is, of course, some of the conflict that occurs within churches. And, you know, 7 out of 10 of the spouses indicated that their spouse, the pastor, has experienced resistance to their leadership in the church. And half of the spouses have personally felt like they've been attacked in the church with something that's been said. How can ministry families be ready for that? Obviously, you don't want that. You never want to invite that. But, you know, since it appears to be kind of a reality of ministry in many churches, how can you prepare for some of the comments that get made, whether it be on social media or personally straight to your face, that are unkind?
Yeah, Janet pointed to me to answer this. Because we do everything with anonymous text, all our Q&A is anonymous, so they'll have a degree of confidentiality, sort of like yours. And this comes up at every single event dealing with conflict. It's in every church. And honestly, if those who have are not dealing with it are just are going to, you know, because every church is full of people, and people are dysfunctional. And so every church is a kind of like a dysfunctional family, like every family. And so conflict is inevitable, what I'm saying. What they want to know is, how do we deal with it? Not are we going to deal with it, but how do we deal with it? And more importantly, the spouses are in particular asking, how can we help our kids deal with it? Mm. Because in most churches are smaller, and so you can't protect or shield your kids completely from conflict in the church. And they're concerned about that because they don't want their kids to be resentful of the church. They don't want their kids to drop out when they grow up. And so those are things, and they do take it personally. You know, they have to. When someone criticizes me when I was pastoring for 27 years, and I guess I still am as an interim, but if I would get when I got criticized, it hurt Janet as much or more than it did me. And so this research kind of bears out that she also flinches when he gets hit.
So a couple of final questions, and I'll ask them both. So you have just a second to think about it. First is, what's one thing that you hope pastors who see this research will take away from the study? And then what's one thing that you hope pastor spouses will take away?
Okay, she wants me to go first. So what I hope the pastors will do, first of all, is make sure their spouse has a friend that they can count on. That 1 out of 10 may seem small, but the spouse needs to have a friend, and that is his responsibility to make sure her needs are met. And, you know, the 7 out of 10 have very few to confide in about important matters. Those are things that concern me the most. The financial part, you know, probably any profession would be equivalent to that. Mm-hmm. But I think for the pastors, I would say, do you make sure that your wife or your spouse has security is an important need for them. So make sure that you are involved in the finances of your home, because that's part of managing your home. And if your spouse is concerned about this, and apparently many are, then get under the hood and help. Don't just turn over the checkbook and say, this is your problem. That's what I would say. And make sure your kids also, make sure your children are VIPs. They need to be number 3 on your VIP list. After Jesus and Janet, my kids are next, and they need to know that. And not all of them do.
The thing that I think would be encouraging to pastors' wives, I've already touched on in the last session, but just that comfort to know that we're normal, and also to know that other pastors' wives, spouses, are going through some of the same, challenges as we are, and that we can be honest with each other and not feel that shame, that we are all going through, or most of us are going through the same challenges, and some of us are maybe responding in better ways than others, but we can learn from each other, and we can count on each other, depend on each other, and not feel that shame, I think, is the big message that I hope that spouses bring out of this.
Well, thank you both for your ministry, investing in pastors and pastor spouses. I think you're modeling what each of us as church members really need to be doing is caring for our ministers and making sure that they can thrive in ministry in a way that really helps our whole church function in a more healthy way.
We appreciate y'all we appreciate y'all taking the time. You have a great day, and we want to thank all of our listeners for listening. And to keep up with more of what Mark and Janet are doing, you can follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Dance, or visit his website and blog at markdance.net. And Mark, what's your Facebook page again?
It's Mark D. Dance.
Okay. And if you have any questions about this podcast or any of our others, please tweet to us at SMcCon and at Lizette Beard or at Lifeway Research. And finally, we want to say a thank you to the sponsors of this project, Richard Dawkins, MD, and the North American Mission Board. We appreciate them seeing the need for this research and following through with the funds and the support we needed to get it taken care of. Join us next time for another edition of Keep Asking. Keep asking, learn more, do better.